Today we spoke with Dr. Carolina Ertman, who is the project manager of the Universe Awareness Project. Perhaps you could give us a few minutes to explain what is the Universe Awareness Project.
Well, the Universe Awareness Project is an initiative to bring astronomy and to use astronomy to broaden the minds of very young children in underprivileged areas across the world, so in Europe and in developing countries.
Okay, so you say very young children. How old?
We're talking about 4 to 10 year olds.
So pretty much as soon as they're able to speak and up,
yeah.
You're going to teach them what, astronomy, or is it a little bit broader than that?
This is not truly an educational program. The aim of the program is to give them a feeling for the size and the beauty of the universe. So really to inspire them and entertain them with the beautiful astronomical images, which are human heritage. I mean, 2,000 years of astronomy have led to the Hubble Space Telescope and things like that. So it's a way to entertain those children who would not otherwise have means of seeing the stars.
Okay, so you're not aiming to get them to learn everything about general relativity, black holes, pulsars, supernova. You're just going to show them some pre-pictures and try and instill into them a sense of, gosh, that's pretty, isn't it?
A sense of awe, yeah.
Awe and wonder.
Exactly. That's the idea.
That sounds like an admirable thing to do to a young child.
Yeah, there's also a cultural component to it. Because, well, as you know, astronomy is deeply rooted in every civilization and every culture. And we hope to exploit existing traditions and oral traditions and myths and legends from various cultures to not only make the program culturally relevant, so we don't want to come and impose our view of astronomy, but we really want to include all views of astronomy, to give also children a sense of pride in their ethnic origins and backgrounds.
Okay, I see. So you're going to be incorporating myths and legends of every child's home nation, I presume, where this is going to take part.
Yeah.
And there is a tendency, at least in Europe, for us to concentrate on Greek and Roman stories.
Yes, that's right. And various countries and various continents have absolutely beautiful stories, simply by the fact that, say, around the equator, they don't have seasons, and away from the equator, they do have seasons. So they have different explanations and different stories, often related to the sky and how seasons came about and things like that. So it's really rooted in the building of humanity.
Just out of interest, are there any particular stories you can maybe tell us?
Sure. I've heard of quite a few here at the AU. One of them is the Emu in the Sky. This is an Australian legend, an Aboriginal legend, in which they see the shape of an emu, this flightless bird, in the sky by seeing the dark patches in the Milky Way. And it's particularly remarkable because it's an image made on dark bits of the night sky and not bright bits like stars and constellations. And I think it's a tribute to the brightness of the sky in that area of the world.
Yeah, sounds very nice. Yeah, I mean, the Australian legends are very, very pretty. I know a few of them. One comment, though, that might have already been levelled at the project is, where do you draw the line? I mean, you're teaching these kids, about their own myths and legends, while at the same time showing them the beautiful pictures from space. However, a hardcore science educationalist might complain that you are instilling myths and legends at the same level as real hard science. How are you going to disentangle the two?
Well, I'm not sure the two need disentangling, particularly not at the age of 4 to 10. I think we're talking about very young kids who may not make the difference between the two, and I think the difference is built up later on. And in any case, I think a program like this gives a human image to science and a human context to science, and gives perhaps science a better image as well. I mean, it's not the goal of the program, but it's something we think might happen.
It'll start the interest in space and astronomy, perhaps.
Exactly, yeah. Yeah, that's right.
Now, you mentioned that this is going to be targeted primarily at disadvantaged children.
That's right.
Who and where?
It will depend very much on the countries, because we work with the people in each country who will drive the program and set it up in their own country to make it relevant to their system, to their schools, to their absence of school in some places. And as such, we don't know exactly how the implementation will be done, because it will depend on the country. Now, in terms of the countries we're targeting, we want to have, in 2009, a pilot, international pilot phase with, say, at least four European countries and four non-European countries, so emerging countries. And at the moment, we have contact with a large number of countries. You can see the list on the webpage. I can.
Well, we'll put a link to the webpage in the show notes on the website.
Okay. Oh, thank you. That's great. So, but we're definitely talking about Venezuela, for instance, who have launched their own pilot phase on this. They have adopted the idea, and they're investigating various possibilities and various ways in which to implement the idea. Tunisia have also started, so obviously these two countries would be target countries. The Netherlands as well, that's where the development office of the program is. And we've got contacts in Spain, in Britain, in South Africa, in Chile, of course, and in Germany as well. So we really have a lot of countries that could potentially become target countries, but that decision hasn't been made yet.
Presumably you're targeting disadvantaged children in all of these countries. I mean,
yes.
Britain, for instance, Germany, Spain, I mean, these aren't sort of third world countries. But you're going to be looking at kids who perhaps are from poor families, maybe they don't have such great access to information, internet, or that sort of thing.
Or maybe children living in the middle of cities.
Exactly, yes. Well, we have identified three types of environments in which the program will be developed. A very basic environment, which could be, for instance, a very remote village with no infrastructure, no telecommunication, and barely water and electricity. And for an environment like that, you can only implement a program like this with, say, perhaps a traveling bus or traveling planetarium, inflatable or something like that, or even a broadcast, a TV, a cartoon TV program. There's an intermediate environment where there's more infrastructure. There may be teachers, but not quite sure about formal training of the teachers and things like that. And, of course, an advanced environment like inner European cities where there might be underprivileged children, but a lot of infrastructure and an internet at school and at home readily available and things like that. So, of course, the way to implement the program in each of these environments will be very different.
It sounds like a lot of work to try and tailor-made the program to each individual environment, but it sounds like you've considered all the possibilities.
Oh, well, this is just the beginning still.
It's just the beginning.
Oh, and it's all fantastic. Time to start off in International Astronomy Year.
Exactly, yes. The idea is to implement it in about eight countries in 2009 for the International Year of Astronomy.
Okay, so what's your job at the IAU this year then? Is it to bring this program to the notice of the community at large?
Well, at the IAU we have had, well, first we launched the program officially at a press conference yesterday on the 22nd of August. We've also made astronomers aware of the program, so it's also been involved in the discussion of the 2009 International Year of Astronomy. And I think education and outreach is a whole part of astronomy in itself. And if you look at the IAU commissions, they have commissions about education, they have commissions about history of astronomy, they have commissions about astronomy in the developing world. And because all these people got together here in Prague, we thought it would be a fantastic opportunity to meet them. And indeed, we've made lots of excellent contacts.
That sounds extremely good. Now, where are you based?
Well, for now, the main office is at the University of Leiden in the Netherlands, and the Leiden Observatory. Our educational committee is based in Heidelberg in Germany, but the international office is essentially centered in the Netherlands, in Leiden. And that's also where we're having a multidisciplinary and multicultural workshop next October, where we're having a lot of people, educators, teachers, astronomy outreach people, anthropologists and astronomers, to discuss how to make this program work and happen in various countries. And the workshop is in Leiden in October this year.
Okay, so if we have any listeners in disadvantaged countries who would like to participate, is there any way for them to find out more information or contact you?
Absolutely, they're very welcome to get in touch. One thing I can think of, if they're listening, obviously they have access to the internet, and one of the ingredients of this program is to have an international network. We've realized that a lot of people do a lot of astronomy in fantastic ways and innovative manners and in a lot of countries, and sometimes they're fairly isolated. And we also realize that sometimes there's not much contact with the people working in cultural astronomy or history of astronomy and people working in astronomy outreach, yet it's a fantastic vehicle for astronomy outreach. So in order to get all these people in touch and to provide a platform for them to discuss and present their work and exchange ideas, we're launching an internet network at the workshop in October. So they're very welcome to get in touch with me, and I will make sure that they are able to join the network, which will be, among other things, a web-based forum and a discussion forum.
One last question, Helga. Who is going to be doing the teaching, the introduction of images in particular to these young kids? Is it going to be a group of teachers, part of your operation, or is it actually going to be established primary school teachers already in the country teaching to these kids?
That's an excellent question. Thank you for asking, really. What we want is that we want to reach as many children as possible. And obviously, the philosophy of the program is not that we go out there. So the idea is to have coordinators in each country we're targeting that will be trained and will participate fully in the development of the program, give us a lot of input on how things are done in their country and what cultural sensitivities they have. And these coordinators will then train educators and spread the program. But we really want a simple program that teachers don't require training to implement. But really the key is the coordinators in each country, and then the teachers can do it with a minimum training. So that's the idea. It's going to be implemented by the people in each country.
I see. So if there is a primary school teacher out there who wishes to get involved with the project, they would, in the first instance, contact you to get the name of a coordinator in their particular country. Is that the idea?
Yes, absolutely. Absolutely.
Well, thank you very much for telling us all about the universal awareness.
Well, thank you for getting in touch.
Hopefully our listeners are more aware about the universe.
I hope so. Well, the message is the universe is great and it's beautiful. And I hope lots of children will understand that.
I'm sure they will. And best of luck with the program, and thank you very much indeed for talking with us.
Thank you.